Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call a June 23rd, 2009 meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. I have the approval of the agenda. Is there any changes, Mr. Baker?
Yes, we do have one change under Mr. Jim Hicken, item number one, Jay Frandell and Pat's Aircraft. We would like to delete that item.
Okay. Does any council member have other changes? Not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
You got it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approval of minutes in your packet were the June 9th minutes. If there are no changes and without objection, I'll consider the minutes approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Griffin.
We have a thank you note from Caitlin Fry, who is a representative of the Del Mar Destination Imagination Team, thanking council for a contribution that made it possible for them to compete in the global competition in Tennessee. She said it was a terrific experience, and they met people from all over the world and had a great time. Mm-hmm. All the correspondence.
Does any council member have other correspondence? If not, we'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Dave Baker, our county administrator.
Good afternoon. The first item we have on the agenda is appointments, and the first one is for the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Ben Gordy, his term expires on June 30th.
And Mr. Gordy announced a couple weeks ago that he was retiring from that position. It is my appointment. I'd like to ask the council to approve my appointment of Marty Ross to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Marty Ross is a farmer and a businessman. He is from the Del Mar area. He's 55 years old. He has served since its inception, governor's land use advisory panel. He is also a member of the United Soybean Board, which was a United States Secretary of Agriculture appointment. He has served in a Mid-Atlantic Soybean Producers National Biodiesel Board. He's someone that has been very active in land use issues for three separate governors, and I think he'd make a great representative for my district. I would entertain a motion to that effect.
You got it.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to appoint Marty Ross to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Is there any discussion?
I haven't had an opportunity to even just to think about this.
You
just came up today, just now.
All right, you can abstain if you'd like. Is there any other discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Is this how appointments are made? Nobody consults with anybody else on council?
Yes or no?
We're taking the vote now, Ms. Deaver.
I'm asking a question.
The period for questions has closed. We're taking the vote now, Ms. Deaver.
I'll vote no.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Baker?
The next item is the Library Advisory Board appointment, and we have Ms. Theo Lopato, who is Mr. Cole's representative on the Library Advisory Board. Her term expires June 30, but she could be reappointed.
We can just put it right back on, please.
Okay. Could I have a motion? We have a motion from Mr. Cole.
Is there
a motion from Mr. Cole, a second by Mr. Vincent, to reappoint her name again, Mr. Baker?
Ms. Theo Lopato.
To the Library Advisory Board. Is there any discussion?
Just that council people should be consulted with this kind of thing. This is very important. These are the people that run this county. This is very important.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Well, I feel that the vote will show us that part of us know what's going on, and the ones that don't know can vote that way.
Is there any other discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. The next item is discussion and possible introduction of a draft ordinance regarding the community road improvement program. And as you may recall, several weeks ago, the council discussed a proposal to simplify and establish a more accurate guide for the county's process to provide road improvements in existing developments. Currently, we provide this service upon request as per State Code Title 9, Chapter 5. The process required by state code is difficult and in some cases impossible to follow. The proposed ordinance drafted, and Mr. Robertson drafted, would follow the current engineering department practices with several exceptions regarding voting and billing. With the proposed ordinance, we would continue to require petition and referendum before initiating any of these projects. We did recommend some changes, and this was discussed several weeks ago here, and we were instructed to bring back some other options regarding the voting and billing requirements. So Ms. Patty Deptula, Mr. Vince Robertson, and Mr. Mike Izzo, and myself looked at some of these other options at a meeting yesterday, and Mr. Robertson will explain.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Mr. President, members of council, we've had this before, so I'm not going to belabor the purpose of the ordinance. It's so existing communities can get road improvements. The questions, as Mr. Baker said, were how do we address voting, petitioning, and billing? What we did is mock up sort of a – we took an existing subdivision and mocked it up so you could see how this would actually work the way the ordinance is worded. Essentially, we'll start with the principle that each property gets one vote. Regardless, there's 25 names on the deed, you don't get 25 votes. You get one vote for that property. Secondly, we start with each tax parcel number because that's the way the county does taxes and bills for sewers. That parcel gets one vote in the process. However, if that parcel is made up of separate buildable lots, each buildable lot gets one vote and one signature on the petition. So on the drawing that you have in front of you, I hope, on this one, you'll see on this side, it's a fake number, but one we came up with, 23.03. That starts out as one tax parcel number, but there's five separate buildable lots. So each one of those would get a vote and one signature on the petition. Over here, what we've identified as tax parcel 177, that actually shows that there's a house straddling lots 11 and 12, and then we have buildable lots 9 and 10. So for purposes of that one, 11 and 12 are considered one vote, one signature on the petition. Lot 10, which is a buildable lot, gets one vote, one signature on the petition. Same thing with lot 9, one vote and one signature on the petition. So that gives it some equity. You know, if you got the benefit of a lot that you can put a house on at some point, you know, you get to vote and petition for street lighting, or excuse me, for suburban.
So you go by parcels, unless right. Those parcels are made up of multiple lots. Then, right. you don't get a still get a vote for the parcel and the lots. You wipe out the parcel. Right. The parcel gets eliminated.
Right.
And you go to the lots. Right.
I have to question again. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When you have the number of lots over here on the right side, if they were all owned by a husband and wife, how many votes would they get?
They would get one.
One vote.
One vote for each one of those buildable lots.
Each one of those.
So
I thought there was a limit to how much a pair like that could get, the number of votes they could get, no matter how many lots they owned.
Well, that's sort of the problem with why we've come up with this ordinance. There was no guidelines before with the way it was. So we tried to come up with some equitable way, because if you start saying that husband and wife each get a vote, you could end up with 10 people as tenants in common on a deed, and one property would get 10 votes, for example.
I understand that part of it. Okay, but there's no limit to how many votes they could have. They could have a vote for each one of those lots, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just to clarify Mr. Cole's question, this would be considered one buildable lot because there's a house straddling that lot line. So in other words, that lot line essentially goes away for purposes of voting.
So our staff would know that there is a house on two lots.
Right.
Even though we wouldn't have that, if they came in with that subdivision laid out, it wouldn't show a house sitting on it.
That's true.
All the different lots.
Right.
So somebody will go and double check and see if there are any houses encroaching on two lots.
And there's a couple fail-safes, too, because there would be a public hearing after the petition, so that anybody that thought that they were being treated that not the same way as what their property reflected, they'd have an opportunity to present that during the public hearing. And certainly if after the county checks and the public hearing there's a question, they could go to the Board of Assessment Review or Appeal to check that out. And so the same thing works then on the assessment side. You know, you would start with the tax parcel number, and on this case, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lots. They would each be assessed separately as 5 lots. We kept in, though, the 40-foot minimum, 100-foot maximum, because that's consistent with the way the sewer's done, thinking, though, that it still is more equitable this way, because technically the way it was before, this would have been capped at 100 feet. This way you get 100 feet for the small one on each of those 5. So it seems like it spreads it more evenly across the subdivision and treats everybody fairly, depending on...
Well, the only thing we may be, this county may be looking towards unit pricing in the future, so we could, would we have to change this ordinance again if we did, like in the sewer?
And I talked to the folks in engineering and Mr. Baker about that, and probably the way to do that is deal with that first on the sewer side. It'll be easy enough to fix this.
Okay.
Rather than do this and then sewer, because
I don't know where the consensus is, but if we are leaning to, I mean, I would think it would be more equitable because you look at some of those lots that have a lot of frontage. Just everybody's benefiting from the roads, and it probably unit pricing would probably be better in this ordinance also. But I don't know if we have the opportunity now to do anything with that at this point.
Yeah, but you got to drive up that road to get to those lots.
But, oh, no, everybody pays the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the fairest way mm-hmm. in all these types of infrastructure issues is to assess everybody the same, mm-hmm. not how much they got in frontage. Mm-hmm.
If I'm hearing you right, Mr. Robertson, this may be, in your mind, the appropriate first step toward going in the direction Mr. Cole was suggesting.
That seems to be the best way to go, to get it on paper and get it into the books, mm-hmm. and then we can modify it because... there's issues that we'd have to look at as far as doing that.
But it would require changing the ordinance.
Yeah, which is a lot easier than the way it is now because a lot of this deals with statute. You know, we'd have mm-hmm. to go to Dover.
But this is the way we're currently doing everything, and if we change, we'll have to go through all our ordinances, I guess, and change everything that's...
Yeah. And I think the best way to do that if we're looking at unit pricing is to start with the sewer side of it because that's more complicated. And then once we get that done, we can bring everything else back in line mm-hmm. behind it.
Right.
Anybody else have a comment? Ms.
The
Beaver?
Intent of this, I think, is to help out communities that are facing a situation where they can't get themselves all together and don't have the wherewithal to organize themselves. But I got a call from a community that's been saving money, putting it aside, and wants to know if they could take part in this and have the in other words, take advantage of the county's ability to get a good contract. Do you know what I'm saying? And they don't want the county to pay, but they want to pay for it, but they want to participate. They want to know if they can participate. Do you know what I'm saying? They want in. We may get a lot of calls about this.
Where the homeowner association wants in and wants to fund it themselves or
yes.
farm it.
Yes, but they want to be in because they think maybe we would have get a better price. So I don't know if that's the intent of this. You know, I guess that's for a later
time. I actually think you could use, you know, they could make a, you know, we could go through the program as normal, but then they could make a payment to pay down the debt service day one, and then you would finance little to none of the project, you know, carrier
mm-hmm.
administration.
That's what they're talking about.
You know, maybe even a small amount of the construction cost. So I think
yeah.
there is a way to do that.
There is a way. Okay, good. Thank you.
Any other questions? So, Mr. Roberts, you are comfortable with this being introduced today and then it would be advertised and be heard at Planning and Zoning?
I'm not sure that this would be heard at Planning and Zoning just because it's an engineering ordinance. It doesn't
okay.
need to go through P&Z.
So it'll come here first and
yes.
stay here. Okay.
And I'm comfortable with it the way it's drafted at council mm-hmm. is. I mean, as far as the form of it.
Yeah, sounds
right.
good.
I just need a council member to introduce it if there's no further questions.
I'll introduce it
okay.
if there's no further questions.
It is introduced. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is an extension request for conditional use number 1678. Actually, that was in your packet. I'm sorry. This was a conditional use for an equestrian center, which was adjacent to the Marine Farm development near Jimtown. And on June 27, 2006, the county council approved the application with various conditions. The Planning and Zoning Commission subsequently approved 2 one-year extensions, which brings the extension time up to June 27, 2009. The applicant has requested that the county council grant an additional one-year extension until June 27, 2010. Now, Mr. Lank is here if you have any specific questions about the project.
So they've run out of extensions, but they're asking for an additional one?
Yes.
Appealing to the county council for that?
Yes.
How is it related to the Marine Farm project?
This, I'll let Mr. Lank in.
Can it proceed on its own?
Good afternoon. This project, excuse me, was a 19.84 acre conveyance supposed to take place between Marine Farm, now called Coastal Club, to the for the purpose of recreational therapeutic equestrian facility, and that transfer hasn't taken place yet.
So supposedly,
just I haven't seen anything in writing specifically, but what we heard when the commission looked at it some months ago, because of mortgage conditions placed on the Marine Farm property, for one. And the deed hasn't been yet transferred, so there's been no action on site to make any improvements.
Now,
may I also, if I
could, Mr. Griffin?
If you don't mind, a representative of the ultimate beneficiary, the Southern Delaware Therapeutic and Recreational Horseback Riding Group, is here today, Georgia Truitt. And I believe she would tell you, if given the opportunity, that that organization would like this extension to occur, because if it doesn't, they don't have the possibility of getting this 19 acres transferred to them. It was supposed to have happened, and the party, the developer, was supposed to contribute X number of dollars to the therapeutic riding activity. None of that's occurred because of the problems with marketing, reselling this development to, I think, the Del Webb communities, who were ultimately supposed to be the developers of the Coastal Club. Because of there's a mortgage against the property, the lender won't let the developer sell the 19 acres without paying them some money. And of course, they're in a position of not being able to do that until they sell the development. So that's.
But hasn't it also have something to do with Jimtown and sewer and all that? Aren't there? Isn't that project associated with Jimtown in some way?
It's located on Jimtown Road, but and the Jimtown owners group came in and testified during the time that this conditional use was approved. I think their primary objection was to the development itself as opposed to the equestrian center, but they did raise some objections to the equestrian center also. But that's really water under the dam. This conditional use was ultimately approved, and the developer's just trying to keep it alive so they have the possibility of fulfilling their promise to the Therapeutic Horseback Riding organization.
And there was no interconnection between Marine Farm and this facility. It's totally separate once the transfer takes place. They don't have direct access to the Marine Farm.
So the extension lasts for one more year?
They're asked for one more year. Run out on June 27th of 2010 if you grant it 1 year.
Does council have any more questions about this request?
Well, it's inexorably connected, and I would like to see it disconnected so I could help the therapeutic association. But my people were against this anyway, and I don't believe in long extensions. Because laws change, people move in, and things change. I don't believe in them.
Well, let me just ask that we're getting different
violations.
Well, we're getting different requests for different reasons for these extensions. Is there any way, Dave, that we could come up with a policy maybe that would just kind of give us some guidelines on what are legitimate reasons for extensions, like the state permitting, you know, held up, this, that, or whatever. But when market, the market forces aren't legitimate reasons to slow things up because these guys can't sell it to somebody or do this to somebody. And we're getting, I think, confused as a body here on what are legitimate reasons. And other people might come in and get denied. They may have same financial problems, but we don't know about it. But in other words, I think we need to get some guidelines on what is a legitimate reason for an extension of a conditional use or any of these things that we've been saying, because just because they can't sell it is not a legitimate reason.
Well, the one thing that you have just in the last week or so, council approved the ordinances for the time extensions on subdivisions and conditional uses that maxes out at 3, no extensions.
Right. Now, would this put, bring them up to the three-year point?
This is, they've already met the three-year as of the 27th. This.
So this is this, week, well, this is beyond 3 years?
If they ask for an if you give them an extension, they're going to be granted another year.
Right. But
it'll be
this
basically the fourth year from the date council approved it.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I guess I'd like to see some guidelines because it just it seems that before we know it's
so
everybody's going to come back in and just.
It's so old that a lot of new people have moved in aren't even aware of anything that's even pending. I mean, it just goes back so far. People think Marine Farm's dead and gone.
Well, what the. This is still separate from the Marine Farm.
Yes.
It's a separate track. Part of the Marine Farm, it was changed to allow for the conditional use for the therapeutic riding facility.
So this just deals with just that riding facility, not the whole
thing. Doesn't have anything to do with Marine Farm.
But Marine Farm's not asking for an extension.
No.
And they are, where are they with this?
They have an RPC approval. Basically, they have 5 years.
They have 5 years?
Basically.
From now?
From the date of their approval, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It doesn't say it in the code. It does on subdivision. Once you get final approval, you then have 5 years sunsetting rule. The RPC sort of relates to the subdivision regulation, but not totally.
We have no
subdivision. Well, we look at it, and we say this has been 5 years, there's been no activity. The commission can vote to void it.
Mm-hmm.
That could take place.
And
they've, still got, they've still got a couple years.
They have a couple years. That's what I'm trying to find out. So it could still happen.
Mm-hmm. But what we did on conditional uses and subdivisions a couple weeks ago to make it maximum mm-hmm. 3 should see some improvement, unless you shouldn't see any time extensions based on that.
A couple weeks ago, we had one that requested an additional 5 months, and we allowed the representative of the applicant to speak. Would you like to say anything on behalf of this request?
I just found out about prepare, but thanks for allowing me to speak. My name is Georgia Troyer.
Don't feel bad. I just found out about some things today, too.
My name is Georgia Troyer, and I'm the director of Southern Delaware Therapeutic and Recreational Horseback Riding. I just want to reintroduce myself to the folks that I've met before and introduce myself to the new council members. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that this riding program operated on Marine Farm property for the first 15 years. Then when the developers bought it, we got displaced. So since then, we've been boarding our horses at other facilities. We serve kids and adults with disabilities. We have about 25 riders a week. We're a 501c3 program. We actually have a waiting list because, sorry, I'm nervous. My voice is shaking. Because we don't have enough horses and we don't have enough space to serve all the disabled people in the community that want it. And as Mr. Griffin said, we did get this approval. Some residents from Jimtown did come out and speak against us, but I think we really alleviated a lot of their concerns because it was about odor and it was about traffic, and we don't serve that many riders and never anticipate being like a lesson facility for people. So I just hope that you guys will do some sort of an extension, because if you don't do that, then we really lose the chance to get this land. So,
could you explain to me how you got displaced?
The founder of the program rented a home and 5 acres on Marine Farms.
Okay.
And she, I believe Stan Thompson owned that land. That was her landlord. When the property was sold to Caldera, she was told by the landlord she had to move out. So we've been operating for now 6 years at other places, just renting stalls.
But when Marine Farm is developed, you will have a facility of 19-acre facility adjacent to that? Is that
it had nothing to do with the actual development at
okay.
all. Regardless of whether they have a development, they have promised us this 20 acres on Jimtown Road.
Oh, it's not related, it's not on the farm, not Marine Farm at all? Okay, it's different.
It's completely separate.
I wasn't on the council then, but it's okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
We've been subdivided. I believe this piece has been subdivided, the 19 acres from
the woods area on Jimtown?
Yes.
The woods.
Uh-huh. So we got very excited. We met with architects. We had our whole facility planned. Our parents and kids came and spoke on behalf of the program, and now we've just been waiting all this time.
Yeah, I think it's a good program.
Do you think you can get it done in a year?
Well, they got to get the gift.
If we could get the land deeded to us, we could use that to raise money. But without the land, our hands are kind of tied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're very frustrated as well. We just, it's our only hope at this point to be able to continue, and I would just hate to see it.
You're at the mercy of the developers.
Unless we can talk another developer into it.
That would be great.
Okay. Is there any more discussion?
No.
I don't think this is too difficult. Could I get a motion to the effect of?
I'll move. I'll make that motion, Mr.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to extend the application of conditional use 1678 on behalf of Marine Farm LLC for 1 year. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next item is regarding a federal energy grant application, and we are requesting your approval to apply for a federal stimulus energy grant. And I just to highlight some of the major points about the grant, the county, Sussex County, is entitled to up to $688,600 of grant funds direct from the federal government for energy purposes. There's no match of county funds required. There's up to $75,000 allowable for county administrative expenses. The funds can be used to reduce total energy use, improve energy efficiency, install on-site renewable energy on county facilities, as well as other uses. Up to $250,000 could be subgranted to other nonprofit organizations within the county. The funds can also be used to develop a grant required energy efficiency and conservation strategy for the county government, and that is required by the grant, and we don't have that at this point in time. The county spends approximately $1.7 million per year for electricity. Of course, much of that is with our wastewater treatment plants and 300 pump stations that we have. Our initial plan is to request grant funding for up to $40,000 to develop an energy strategy which would guide us to further determine how the remaining funds could be most efficiently be spent. And as such a strategy must be developed by the county within 120 days from the date of the award of the grant. And we have with us today Ms. Gina Jennings, who has worked on this. I know she's worked on this with Steve Hudson from our engineering department and Kathy Roth, our budgeting director, on the application.
Maybe if Ms. Jennings would come up, we have some questions for her.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. One question I think maybe in people's minds, are there any other strings attached other than the grant required in energy efficiency and conservation strategy that you know of?
No, there is. We'll have reporting requirements every quarter, and then after the first year, every year after that, just to track the energy usage and the money that we've saved and the kilowatt usage that we reduced.
And you're going to, how do you prove that? It's interesting. How do you prove it? Yeah.
Well, okay. Hopefully our energy consultant will help us with that. I don't have the energy, the background.
So we've hired an energy consultant.
That's
too?
What the first part of that $40,000 is to hire a consultant.
Oh, I thought maybe
they'll come up with a strategy and a plan for us to use and a guideline to use.
That's a good business to be in. Yeah.
Around this time, yes.
Stimulus, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a county can receive up to the $75,000 for our administration efforts.
Correct.
Any other questions for Ms. Jennings?
No, just work fast.
In 20 days, it'll be here quick.
How long is this good for? So the $75,000 is gone?
Yeah, we have 18 months to actually spend the money and have it accounted for. And that's... with our salaries in-house, I'm sure we can spend the $75,000.
Then it's energy expert leads.
What'd you say?
Then the energy expert is done, right? When we spend our money.
Well, yes.
We're not going to hire any permanent employees as part of this program?
We don't anticipate to.
So it would be 120 days from the award date?
From the award date.
When do you expect that the award date would be?
On Thursday, I have to submit the grant to the federal government, mm-hmm. and they should get back to me within 3 months. And then as soon as they award it to me, I have 120 days. So by December, I should have a strategy completed.
Good.
Are there any more questions for Ms. Jones?
120 days is only to build the strategy.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've got a question about the $250,000, but I don't think that's what we're discussing right now. The nonprofit groups and who makes that decision. But this I have no question about the county's portion of it.
Is that $250,000 part of the $688,000?
It is.
But it has to go to a nonprofit group.
It'd have to go to a nonprofit group.
Well, it could be.
Yes, it has.
It could go.
You don't have to
right.
do it that
it's
way.
It's not required.
It's not required.
It's not required that we spend, that we grant money like through the block grant, community development block grant program. This is a block grant. If we want to go that direction, you know, that is a possibility, and the county would have to approve any sub-grants, I guess, to other nonprofit organizations. The maximum of all of those would be $250,000.
That's correct.
If we
but
do
we're
that.
Not at that point yet mm-hmm. to make a recommendation.
Well, I've already had phone calls.
Yeah.
People looking for that money.
Right. We got a couple here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Ms. Jennings?
Municipalities.
Thank you. We'll see if there's support. Would somebody be interested in making a motion to accept this? Is that the motion, Mr. Baker? Have you got one written?
Well, I have one written. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize the county finance director to apply for an energy efficiency and conservation block grant from the federal government.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the motion as read by Mr. Baker. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, and then the last item I have is the administrator's report. And the first item, as President Phillips noted, the passing of Senator Thurman Adams. Senator Thurman Adams of Bridgeville passed away earlier today at the age of 80. Senator Adams was many things, a farmer, a businessman, a legislator, and respected statesman, but above all was a Sussex Countyan and a true gentleman. Senator Adams was a good friend to the county and to Sussex County Council over the years. He supported the expansion of public safety, worked tirelessly to maintain agriculture's proper place in Delaware, and did his very best to protect the interests of Sussex Countyans. We extend our deepest sympathies to Senator Adams' family and to his colleagues in the General Assembly in this tremendous loss. We also regret to announce that Anthony Della Camera, district manager for the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, passed away today, June 23rd. Mr. Della Camera worked for the county since July 16, 2001, and he did an outstanding job for us and was promoted from wastewater operator up to district manager. We wish to express our condolences to the Della Camera family. Woodlands and Millsboro Sewer District, the County Engineering Department will be conducting a referendum at the Millsboro VFW in Millsboro on Thursday, June 25th from 1 to 7 p.m. The purpose of the referendum is to establish the Woodlands and Millsboro Sanitary Sewer District. Attached is a copy of the applicable press release.
Any questions for Mr. Baker?
Mr. Baker, when will they know what it's going to cost them to hook up and the annual fees, that type of thing?
For the Woodlands and
uh-huh.
Millsboro, we provided estimates and will provide estimates at the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically the main topic of
okay.
the public hearing,
mm-hmm.
the cost.
Okay.
That is explained in detail how our system works with service
mm-hmm.
charges and so on.
But they'll know before they sign.
Will know before
mm-hmm.
the referendum. I mean, they are estimates, so they're not based on actual cost, of course, which we
yeah.
won't know until
okay.
it's built.
Mr. Baker, I don't see Mr. Godwin Is that something you want to take care of?
Yes. The first, Mr. Godwin is at Legislative Hall to attend a, on the agenda for today at 2 o'clock was Senate Bill 132, which I know council had interest in. First item, local law enforcement grants. We have two grant requests for the program. One's from the City of Lewis for $7,901.29 for police radio equipment. And then the other was from the town of Delmar for $25,000 for a new police vehicle. These have been reviewed by Mr. Godwin and staff.
Could I get a motion to approve those requests?
I just have a question. Is anybody here from those towns? No?
Not Pearson.
Okay.
Could I get a motion?
Yes. So,
a motion and a second to approve the grants as read by Mr. Baker. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next item is legislative update, and I have this first item is Senate Bill 132. And just for your information there, this was the bill regarding requiring state planning office review of each land use ordinance and then any applications of over 50 units or 50,000 square feet. There is an amendment that I don't think was discussed last week, but a copy of it is attached. And this amendment would require review of the applications by the state planning office within 20 business days unless it is mutually agreed to by the state planning office and the applicant. So there is a timeline for the state planning office included in that amendment number one. It's my understanding that the Senate would maybe considering this today, this particular bill today, but as last week, I believe it was our understanding that the council expressed opposition to the bill, we will continue in that mode.
I didn't hear it that way at all. I heard it last week that the bill was about plus having to review any ordinance that we were about to pass would have to be approved by plus.
Any land use related ordinance.
At land use related, but right. You just said that this bill is about a timeline.
Well, the amendment is.
Oh, the amendment.
What the amendment would
okay.
do is just simply require that the state planning office review. They don't have to
that
necessarily agree with the ordinance.
They get back in 20 days.
Uh-huh. They have to complete it within 20 business days.
That's
yes.
the amendment.
That's
okay.
the amendment.
And yeah. this is about 50 units or 50,000 square feet. Does it include cluster developments?
Yes, I believe.
Any kind of residential.
Any so cluster so developments.
All
yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. And then the next item is dog control, and I have copies of House Bill 233, which was just introduced and has been assigned to the House Natural Resources Committee. And basically, this transferred dog control responsibility to the counties. We currently fund the cost of dog control that the state incurs, but the state administers the program. They sub it out to the Kent County SPCA. We expect to spend about $583,000 this fiscal year for dog control, which is a reimbursement to the state. What that includes is according to DENREC, the cost of the program in Sussex County is $639,000, and they collect in dog licenses and fees $56,000. So the net amount, the net cost to the county is $583,000. So even if the licensing fees were doubled, there would still be a cost in excess of $500,000. An amendment is also being considered, which would limit the county's ability to set the licensing fees. The original bill said that each county can determine the licensing fee, but an amendment is also attached that would limit the licensing fees to a maximum of $6 per dog, or $10 for, $6 for a non-spayed or non-neutered dog, and, or no, $6 for a neutered or spayed dog, and $10 for a non-spayed or neutered dog. And we, a number of concerns were brought up here. This would limit our ability to fund the program, of course. It would limit our ability to charge extra for, we were talking about some sort of vanity-type dog tags. There's a possibility if that, if there was interest in that. Also, it would limit our ability to use outside agencies. Or it, we're not, I'm not clear on that. It may not limit our ability, but what we talked about is the state, for instance, now allows a veterinarian or a hardware store, wherever, whoever sells a dog license, to collect a dollar per license. And we wanted to ensure, be sure that that was, you know, to the, there needs to be some premium for sellers of these licenses. And also, we had contact, Mr. Parker had had been in contact with a company in trying to plan for taking over the program. We had, we're considering looking at a company to handle the licensing through the internet, through, or at least part of it through the internet. And they, if we went to something like that, there's also a fee that they would charge as a result of that. So it's just one of the options, and nothing was decided. It was just one of the options that we thought we would take a look at and might help with our, help improve the number of dogs that were licensed. As far as the bill itself, each county would issue licenses for dogs, as well as issue licenses for retail dog outlets and kennels. Licenses would be issued subject to proof of rabies vaccination, which, of course, is the case now. The counties would impose fines of not less than $50 for lack of a license, not less than $100 for a subsequent offense, and that's in the bill. The county would be responsible for inspecting kennels and retail dog outlets. We would also enforce various rules regarding humane handling, care, and treatment of dogs that are included in the bill. And for the most part, these rules are pulled out of state code that the state currently has. Although the bill does not specify it, DENREC has indicated that the State Department of Justice will continue to prosecute where needed the various violations of the for dog control. That is a concern because in meeting with them, it seemed that there were a number of, there is somewhat substantial legal costs in prosecuting these various cases. Department of Justice, the State Department of Justice, did send us an email saying that they would continue with that practice. However, one option would be to request in an amendment form that we could require that the State Department of Justice handle those prosecutions so that it wouldn't be just an easy budgetary, you know, it wouldn't just be simply a budgetary decision for the state in future years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so they couldn't change their mind.
Right, and the other thing is it would be effective January 1st, so.
Does the council have any comments on this?
Did we license dog kennels before, retail?
No, we have.
We've never licensed anything.
The county has not been in the dog licensing or.
But under this bill, we would have to.
Under the bill, they would transfer that authority to the state. Now, the previous council had the position they took is that they wanted to see that the state continue with the administration of the program. And Kent County was also of a similar mindset. Now, Newcastle County felt that if the county paid for the cost, then they should manage the program.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something to be said for that too. So.
Well, a fundamental element of management is if you are going to give someone the responsibility, then you should give them the authority as well. And it appears that this bill is pl- placing all the burden of responsibility on us without giving us the authority to do what we feel is necessary to properly implement it. I mean, the mere fact that they are limiting our ability to set the rates and are going to cause us to, in essence, lose over $500,000 on the program indicates maybe just a philosophical breakdown in understanding money management. Maybe that's why they're having some fiscal problems up there. I hate to see them start to impose that attitude on the counties who in the past have demonstrated a degree of fiscal discipline. Is there any way that we can get them to reconsider this, in your opinion?
I certainly think so. I mean, if my impression was there was a concern about how the fees that, what I was told is there was concern about one of the other counties, the fees that they may charge in the future. However, I don't see that as a, I don't see our county charging exorbitant fees for dog licenses. I don't see that happening. And I don't think they do either. But, it may be doable, although there are some Sussex County legislators that are represented here who do have concerns about that. They were sponsors of the amendment.
I would assume that they're afraid that if a county charges too much, that dogs just wouldn't be licensed and wouldn't be any control. Is that?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the rabies vaccinations.
Like, yeah, okay.
You just mentioned that.
So we want dogs vaccinated and right. Licensed. Right. So, you know, I guess I can see what they're saying, but I don't like it.
I'd say one thing, we're going to have to hire a lot more employees. The time you go around to a dog house, you check the temperature don't fall below 50 degrees. Then you got to check to see if the bedding's really dry. You're going to have to go and stick your head in, I guess, check that. Then we got to check, see if the doghouse stinks or where it might be. Check back the ammonia. If whatever employees we got now, we're going to have about five times. You talk about a real expense. I think if we run it for, 500,000, 600,000 now?
Six.
Well, we'll probably be
600.
We're going to, like to me, it looks like it'll go to $250,000 or more for this doggone. This is, I've seen some dogs I've had. Let's sleep outside and sleep inside on the back porch or something. Got the old house comfortable. But they come up there and catch it.
I've been in your house. I can understand.
That's when I had a draft. That was on a warm day, George. Wait till it comes cold.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Griffin, do you see any options for us other than to just loudly object to this bill?
Well, the dog regulations have been in effect as state law since about 1998. They're probably among the toughest laws in the nation regarding dog control because they regulate every aspect of it down to temperatures and that type of thing. I suspect that the state probably hasn't been enforcing every aspect of those laws because of the budgetary reasons that are causing them to try to push it all off on the county. An option would be that the state could repeal the existing state law having to do with how dogs are maintained and kept, give the jurisdiction to the counties, and let the counties adopt their own dog control regulations. But they're trying to, it appears that they're trying to make certain that when the counties take over, the counties are going to be saddled with the same law that the counties, that the state has had in effect for a number of years, so they don't want any less protection. But I would think that the compromise would be that if we've got to take over the enforcement, we should have the right to determine what we can charge, and hopefully it will be an amount that might reasonably allow the county to recover its costs. Otherwise, it's a lost leader.
It's an unfunded mandate is
right.
What it is.
Exactly.
Well, it's public service, though. You know, we don't have to make money on every service we provide.
No, well, I wouldn't think we have to lose $500,000 either.
Well, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. But this is not a business. This is a government.
Okay.
I don't.
It's not a free handout.
In other words, you think I should pay part of the expense to have your dog checked. Is that what you're saying?
Are you speaking? Are you speaking, Mr. Wilson?
It's a question to you, Ms. Deaver.
What was his question?
Never mind.
Mr. Griffin, could I ask you, is there anything that limits our ability to craft other revenue streams to pay for this program, other than the licensing?
Well, that's the way that the cost of the program has always been recovered by the state, and they probably haven't managed to cover their entire cost, and that's why they required each county to contribute to that effort.
But are you...
I don't see any other means other than through enforcement and collecting fines to make up the shortfall if they limit your ability to set the amount necessary to establish the licensing fees.
Okay.
So I would think you'd want to object to their limiting your ability to recover a reasonable amount of fees for
administering
the program.
I would object to that, yeah.
But it does remain silent to our ability to create other revenue streams.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that. We could also farm some of it out possibly to private providers. Is that a possibility under this law?
It's not prohibited by this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But those other providers are going to want to be paid X number of dollars per license just to handle the administrative paperwork.
Sure. Well, they do now.
If there's no objection, I'll leave it up to Mr. Baker to craft the appropriate objection as articulated by the members of council and pass it along to our General Assembly members.
Okay. Thank you.
What else have you got?
And that's it for the legislative update. I think we went over most of the items last week.
The next agenda item is Ms. Gina Jennings again, Director of Accounting.
Hello again. Check in the amount of $46,850 has been received from the United States Department of the Interior Fish and Wildlife Service as a federal payment in lieu of taxes for the Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge. This check represents payments under the Refuge Revenue Sharing Act covering fiscal year 2008. The amount is calculated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service by prorating total funds available for payment. This check is funded through revenues generated from the Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge and from supplemental congressional appropriation. Sussex County may use these funds for any governmental purpose. The recommendation is to have these funds allocated to in the same percentage as the other county tax collections.
Okay. Do you need action by the council to receive these?
Yes.
Usually Mr. Rogers had some comments about this time.
Does council have any comments?
Yes, those.
Do you want to make that?
No, I don't want to. I can't remember his objection. I guess it's something to do with the fire company didn't get any of this money or something.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a shame he didn't send
it. You have a motion.
I do.
Okay.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the recommended distribution of the Refuge Revenue Sharing Funds as follows. The Milford School District, $9,185.05. Cape and Lopin School District, $28,920.78. Sussex Technical High School, $3,129.23. Library, $589.25, and Sussex County, $5,025.69.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Yep.
I have a motion and a second to approve the resolution read by Ms. Jennings regarding the payment in lieu of taxes surrounding the Prime Hook National Wildlife Refuge. Is there any comment?
Yeah, I have a question. You are listing these amounts and going to certain places.
Yes.
I'm new at this. I haven't heard of this before.
Okay. It was
when you
in your
say,
packet. Should have been in your
when you say it goes to a school district, is it what kind of funding is that? Is that limited? What can they do with that money? And is that an outright grant? What is that?
They can do whatever they want.
It's just like our regular taxes that we collect on the tax bill. We're just giving that tax portion that we're getting from the refuge back in the same percentage as our normal taxes. It's another income to them.
Where does it go? To the state?
To the school district itself.
It goes to the school district.
It goes to the school district.
And that is because the federal property is exempt from the school taxes?
It's exempt from all taxes.
All taxes.
So then this is kind of a way for them to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
This is payment in lieu.
I understand that part, but the part I was asking about was what kinds of grants these are. And
we have not restricted the school districts in terms of how they spend the money in the past.
And you said library. Which library?
Our library tax.
Very similar to what we do with the town of Georgetown in a smaller scope, like pared down.
We're exempt from taxes, right?
Yes, but we give them not the full 100%, but a little stipend to make up the difference, just like the federal government gave to us.
Fine.
Any other questions? If not, we'll call Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Ms. Jennings.
Yeah.
Mr. Bill Cates here today.
Good afternoon, Council. I have with me Brad Whaley, the Assistant Director. Today we're here just basically to list the statement of activity and to go over the housing preservation grant we apply for every year. I know it is new to a few council. It has already been approved and was in the budget anticipating, but it's a $50,000 grant, as you see on the handout. It's a housing rehabilitation for homeowner occupied only, 100% in rural areas, and covers housing deficiencies. A few years ago, when they cut this from about $200,000 to $100,000, because there was one allocation in the state of Delaware, instead of fighting with Kent County and on the application, we agreed to work together on the application and split it. And we've been doing that and augmenting our community development block grant application. And the impact would be about 12 dwellings throughout Kent and Sussex, 30 individuals. They would follow Section 8 income, which would be very low income. Over 83% of the grant will be very low income, and the remaining 27 would be kind of the... 17, I guess it would be the CDBG guidelines, which is 80% or below, and then two will be low income, which is the 80%. We have had this advertised as the record showed for the grant. We are in the process of writing the grant, finishing it up, and hope to have it submitted before the deadline of July the 17th. It is basically a formality we go through every year. This is considered the pre-application. Hopefully we will receive it. And today I'm just here to get a resolution to let Mr. Baker apply for on the county's behalf.
Sounds good.
Any questions for Mr. LeCates or Mr. Whaley? No? Do you have a motion?
Okay. Yes. I have a resolution to endorse the project to be submitted to the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Housing Services for funding and authorizing David B. Baker, County Administrator, to submit pre-application. And it's for the $50,000 for housing rehabilitation in a target area, Sussex, Kent County.
Okay. Would a council member like to make that motion?
I'll make it.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the resolution read by Mr. LeCates. Is there any further questions or discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen. We have a public hearing at 3:30, which we can now hold. Mr. Griffin?
This is the time and place for a public hearing on an ordinance that's been proposed to amend Chapter 62 of the Code of Sussex County. The purpose is to amend the portion of Chapter 62, which is Section 15, relating to fees that are currently charged by the sheriff. It's proposing certain increases in those fees. We will start the public hearing by asking a representative from the sheriff's office, I believe it is Mr. Walls. Will you be